Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Adam Waskowski, and I represent the plaintiff appellant Harold Jenkins. Your Honors, the issue in this case is whether the plaintiff's Section 1983 claim was barred by the statute of limitations. In the proceedings below, the plaintiff filed a Section 1983 claim. He took a voluntary dismissal on March 9, 2004. That voluntary dismissal was then entered on the docket sheet on March 15, 2004. 1 year later, on March 15, 2005, after it was entered on the docket sheet, he refiled his complaint. Now, in Section 1983 claims, the federal courts have adopted the state statute of limitations and all tolling rules. Since this case was filed in Illinois, it looks to Illinois law. In Illinois, there is, in fact, a tolling statute which allows you 1 year after a voluntary dismissal to refile your complaint. That statute doesn't specifically say when the tolling period starts running, but the Illinois Supreme Court has clarified the statute to explain that it begins running when it's entered of record on the docket sheet. And therefore, in this case, if you apply Illinois law, plaintiff's complaint was timely refiled.
That's not tolling. That's just, you know, a detail, one a day, one way or the other.
I'm sorry?
As if Illinois had made some judgment that the statute of limitations ought to be extended by the time it takes to enter the dismissal in the docket.
Well, the court did explain how you measure it. I mean, it just doesn't say one way.
Why is the natural inference? They're just saying, well, the statute of limitations runs from dismissal. Different court systems have different criteria for dismissal, and sometimes it's, and so it can vary by a couple of days, but we don't care. Dismissal is dismissal.
In the Swisher decision, the court was looking at those issues, and the court did assume that it was when it was entered of record as the relevant date, and it did so by looking to the analogous.
Yeah, you're missing the point. The point is, the federal courts will defer to the state statute of limitations, incorporate state statute of limitations, plus any tolling rules.
Sure.
But as far as what constitutes a dismissal, there's no indication that state policy toward the statutory limitations period is dependent on when a court system decides a case has been dismissed. It's just a couple of days one way or the other.
Well, Your Honor, to answer that question, the issue is not what you need to get a voluntary dismissal. Now, there is a difference.
You're not following it. There's no state policy toward the length of the limitations period that is engaged by this issue. Illinois doesn't care whether the statute of limitations has an extra day or two or loses a day or two because different court systems count dismissal or define dismissal differently. That's my concern with your position.
Well, when we're applying statute of limitations of the state courts, when you're adopting it, the Hardin decision emphasized the importance of...
the definition of dismissal isn't part of a statute of limitations. Tolling rules are part of statute of limitations law. Dismissal isn't part of statute of limitations law. It has, you know, many other functions, right?
That's correct. What actually would be required for a dismissal would not be defined by state law. However, here, the issue is not what you need for a voluntary dismissal. Sure, under Illinois law, you need an order of the court. Under federal law, the dismissal isn't, is effective when it's filed. However, there's all kinds of situations under federal court, under federal law, where something is effective on a totally different date than when it's, when the time period starts running. For example, the time period for, you know, appealing an injunction would start running when that's entered on the docket sheet, but that doesn't mean it's not effective the minute it's the minute that it's handed down. Now, here, there's no, federal law is just simply silent on when the voluntary dismissal, and I see my time is up, federal law is simply silent on when the tolling period would start running. There is Supreme Court precedent from the Illinois Supreme Court directly on point, and since federal law is silent, there's no reason not to apply that decision and measure it from the time that it's entered in the docket sheet. I reserve any additional time for
you. Thank you, Mr. Waskowski. Mr. Apicella?
Good morning. May it please the Court. Ken Apicella on behalf of the defendants. I think everybody is very clear that this entire case turns on the question of when the case was voluntarily dismissed. Everybody agrees it's a civil rights case. Everybody agrees there's no federal statute of limitations. You borrow the state statutes of limitations. And the reason you borrow those is because there is no federal statute of limitations. If you look at Section 1988, it gives you this three-prong test on what law to apply in these civil rights cases. And the first step is you look at federal law. And if federal law tells us when this case was voluntarily dismissed, you stop there. And you look at the applicable federal law in this case, and it's Rule 41. Rule 41 says the second you file that stipulation, the case is dismissed. Under the mandate of Section 1988 and the Supreme Court and Wilson, the analysis stops there. Even for the sake of argument, if you were to go on and do the state court analysis, you'd look to the Illinois Supreme Court rules. And the Illinois Supreme Court rules are pretty clear on it as well. The voluntary dismissal statute in Illinois says a voluntary dismissal is effective by filing an order of the court. In this case, the court, contemporaneously with the filing of the stipulation to dismiss, entered an order dismissing the case on March 9, 2004. The case wasn't refiled until more than a year later. For that reason, it's untimely and should be dismissed. I'm sorry. Summary judgment was appropriate, and for that reason, we request that the court affirm the trial court's grant of summary judgment.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Apicella. Mr. Waskowski, how much time does he have? 1 minute left?
Well, once again, the issue isn't when the voluntary dismissal is effective. It isn't when the case is actually voluntarily dismissed. The issue is when the tolling period starts running, and that's a totally different question than when the voluntary dismissal is actually effective. Now, it's undisputed in this case.
It's totally different. You think... Well, you're on notice. Why would you need additional time?
I would agree if I understand what you're asking. I would agree that it would be probably best practice to file on March 9th. Our firm was appointed counsel after the case was refiled, but nonetheless, I think. There really is nothing under federal law that would tell you when that tolling period would start running. All you have is the Illinois Supreme Court saying you look at when it's entered the docket sheet. Since it's undisputed here that the case was entered in the docket sheet on March 15, 2005, both the order, which was irrelevant, and the stipulation of dismissal, which was refiled, was entered on March 15, 2005. We think it's clear that under the Illinois Supreme Court law, which this court should apply, the case was timely and the lower court's decision should be reversed.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Waskowski and Mr. Apicella.